The following is a lecture entitled Life or Death, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 24th, 2010, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So, tonight, we are going to hear a lecture called Life or Death. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamulam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sajaitam Savadutam Padijana Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri Lalita Vishakam Vitam Shcha. So you have your choice. We all have that choice. Life or death. Do you want to be alive or do you want to be dead? You may wonder, what do I mean? Because everyone prefer to be alive. If you offer to kill them, they would try to get away. So what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is this modern day civilization is a death civilization. One who becomes conditioned by it is practically a dead person, even while they're walking around alive. You may say, Sankarshan Prabhu, how can you say such an outrageous thing? All the people of Sofia are dead people? What are you talking about? That's outrageous. But no, it's not outrageous. Practically they are dead, you see. Because they are not connected with their actual self. Under the influence of the modes of nature. They're like puppets. They have no freedom. They're being manipulated by the Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, just like puppets. So they may say, I'm free man. But that freedom is an illusion. They are not free. Actual freedom means to not be under the impulse of the modes of nature. To be able to act in terms of one's actual, eternal, blissful, all-knowing nature. That is freedom. Not the temporary, miserable, ignorant so-called self. Of course, they imagine that they're free, you see. Just like one time I went to jail. I committed a very horrible crime. I was distributing Back to Godhead magazine. So they arrested me, they put me in jail. But I noticed within the jailhouse there were some prisoners who had somehow advanced to a higher status, you see. They were called trustees. They could leave their cell and walk up and down the cell block, and you know, there's like in the small county jail, there'd be 20 cells in the jailhouse, 20. So these trustees, they got to walk up and down the row and chat with all of us who were confined to our cells, you see.
Тези, които бяха получили такъв по-висок статус, бяха доверени. Те можеха да излизат от килиите си и да ходят между поред.
And they're thinking, yes, I am a free man, I am a trustee.
Защото те можеха да си говорят с всеки от нас по-отделно и те си мислиха, аз съм свободен човек.
These other prisoners, they're confined to their cell, but I get to walk up and down the hall.
Тези другите затворници са си затворени в техните килии, но аз мога да се разхождам между килиите.
But the so-called trustees, they are also prisoners. So even if you become Brahmanji, the controller of this entire material universe, you are still a prisoner. Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartin Arjuna Mamupechyadaponkutapuntaya Punarjanamanavijite. You understand these points? From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, Patala Loka. Every place is miserable. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how famous you are. I don't care how powerful you are. As long as you're in this material world, you are miserable. That's a fact. Because this is a place of suffering. There's nobody out there in the world society that's actually happy. Nobody. We think they're happy, the rich, famous, powerful people. It is just an illusion. The only person who is truly happy is that person who has come to Brahma Buddha and Krishna Bhakti. Brahma Buddha is the preliminary stage. And that is also a state of great happiness. In other words, even before you achieve pure bhakti, you can become very, very blissful, even before pure bhakti.
Дори преди човек да постигне чиста бхакти, той може да бъде изпълнен с голямо блаженство.
Брахма бута прасанатмана сочати на кангшати самаксарвешу бутешу мадбхактим лабате парам. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic.
Така този, който е трансцендентално установен, веднага осъзнава върховния браман и става абсолютно екстатичен.
He doesn't hang for anything.
Той не купнее за нищо.
He doesn't lament about anything.
Не скърби за нищо.
He is equally disposed towards every living being.
Така личност е еднакво разположена към всички живи същества.
And Krishna says, and in that state, he attains transcendental loving service unto me. So if even the preliminary stage before a pure devotional service is absolutely ecstatic, just imagine how much nectar there is in pure bhakti. It's absolutely inconceivable. There's only one way to find out what it's like. Gotta become a pure devotee. But it's so hard to be a pure devotee, they say. Guess what? It's much easier to be a pure devotee than to be an impure devotee. Because the impure devotee is going back and forth. You see? I'm going to surrender to Krishna. Now I feel like giving in to Maya. And he gets a little thrill from giving in to Maya, but he feels so bad about it. Now I'm going to become a pure devotee. And then he gives in to Maya again, you see. That's hellish. Just fully embrace pure bhakti. And then you don't have to feel bad about falling into Maya. You can just always be in life, and I'm doing my duty. I'm doing what my spiritual master wants me to do, 24/7. I mean, the spiritual master isn't that demanding. All he wants you to do is chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam, you know, really. It's not that difficult. Avoid, follow the principle, you know. It's not that hard. Someone may say, yeah, but those principles can be pretty tough. But if you associate with people who are following the principles, if you associate with people who are getting a taste from the holy names when they do kirtan, you'll be infected with their disease, pure bhakti disease, you say. And you will get that taste. And when you get that taste for pure bhakti, when Maya comes knocking on your door, when she comes to the hotel of your heart, she will see a sign there posted on your hotel. No vacancy. She'll have to go to someone else's heart to look for a place to spend the night. Because your room, the hotel of your heart will be fully booked up with bhakti, you see. Bhakti at 4 a.m. Bhakti at 4:30 a.m. Bhakti at 5 a.m. You got the idea. You're booked. Your daily schedule, you see, 24 hours a day booked for bhakti. When my wonderful godbrother, Vishnujana Swami, one time was with Prabhupada in his room in Los Angeles. Robert, see, I have harmonium here. I have harmonium here, you see. No gaps for Maya.
If
there's any spare moment, I can sing some bhajan. So in this way, you fill your life up with service, singing bhajans, cooking for Krishna, eating Krishna prasadam, reading the books, making friends with people and telling them about Krishna, you know, traveling to holy places like Vrindavan, or traveling and preaching to spread Krishna consciousness, earning money to donate to the temple to help the Krishna consciousness movement, or to donate to the BBT to help publish more books in Bulgarian. See, just fully absorb your life in Krishna's service, and you won't be dead. You'll be alive, and you'll be absolutely ecstatic. But some people say, well Sankarshan Prabhu, I tried it, and but I found the devotees are really rough with me. I mean, I saw so many faults in the devotees, and you know, they weren't pure, and they had so many, you know, I saw so many faults in them, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy. I just couldn't handle it. Now I just go home and chant on my own. I don't come around very often. Well, we admit that we have our faults, you know. I mean, we're trying, but We don't say they were all Paramahamsas here. We wouldn't make such a claim, obviously. You know. So we have to be a little tolerant of each other's faults, you know. Even Prabhupada was tolerant of our faults. He said, I am 10% strict and 90% lenient. Especially in the early days, it was amazing. The stories from the old days, you know. Devotees were told not to go out to eat in karmi restaurants, you know. But they hadn't given up the habit. There was a donut place just down the street from the temple. So Prabhupada would go on his morning walk, you know, he's going to walk down the street. He walked by this donut shop. And he came by the window, the devotees would go down like this, you know. They would go hide out of the booth. So, I mean, I don't recommend that you all should be doing these kind of things, obviously. But I'm just saying, you know, Prabhupada is very tolerant. I mean, I personally don't do such things. I was on the airplane today and they offered us twice. We were on two flights. We were flying from Timisoara to Bucharest, Bucharest to Sofia. Each flight they offered us a whole dinner, a sandwich, a salad, a whole thing, you know. Of course it was a codicil. But even if it wasn't a codicil, and even if it was completely vegetarian, we wouldn't touch it. Why? Because it's made by karmis. We bring our own prasadam. Now some things, there's a little leniency, like the juice, a soft drink or a juice, but there's some leniency there. But the general rule is you don't eat food made by non-devotee. So we just brought our own. We had, when they brought out the, we had the lady put down the little mat, the little cloth on our little tray. We brought out our buckwheat and our potatoes, and we with the tomato chutney mixed in with the buckwheat. We had a great dinner there on the, great lunch on the airplane at 30,000 feet. Made by the devotees in Romania, you see. With love and devotion and offered to Krishna. So in this way, you know, we follow, it's very blissful to follow these principles. We had the best food on the whole plane. Krishna Prasad, you see. Cooked with love. Those potatoes tasted great. They were simple potatoes, but they were very nicely spiced with salt and pepper, very nice baked chunks. They were very, very tasty. So we don't need to spend money to go to some karmi restaurant to enjoy our senses. It's not necessary. Or even take the food on the airplane that comes free along with our ticket. Well, it's not really free, but you know, you paid for it with your ticket. See, we don't need such food. We just need Krishna Prasadam. So in this way, even though, you know, it seems difficult to be Krishna conscious sometimes. And even though sometimes we're discouraged by seeing the, you know, the false egos flaring up sometimes and all these kind of things. We have to be a little tolerant and realize, well, hey, I'm not such a pure devotee myself either, so why should I blame them so much if they're struggling with their senses too, just like me? We're all struggling in different ways, you know. I remember my godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, he's so, one, this is the one who left his body in Mayapur, that the called the Jali Sannyasi, the chubby Jali Sannyasi, Sridhar Swami. He was a wonderful godbrother of mine.
Сещам се за един мой прекрасен духовен брат Шридар Свами, който скоро напусна тялото си в Шридар Майапур.
But he told the story of how he was when he went for initiation in Los Angeles as a young brahmachari. He was in a state of complete awe going forward for his beads, complete awe and reverence, like practically approaching God himself. I mean, not literally, but that kind of awe and reverence, you know. He was very in a state of total awe. And Prabhupada said, he was offering obeisances and Prabhupada said something to him. But he couldn't, he was in so much awe, he couldn't respond. Prabhupada said, so, you are a brahmachari? And the devotees tapped and said, Prabhu, Prabhu, Prabhupada's talking to you. He couldn't. So he had to, he came out of his little on reverence trance and realized, my spiritual master is talking to me, I have to relate with him. So he took that actually as a blessing, you see, that he had been recognized as a brahmachari by Prabhupada. And he remained brahmachari throughout his whole devotional life, you see. And here he was now giving an interview, and after being a very mature sannyasi, he's having disciples all over the world, etc., etc., etc. Am I translating them? And he chuckled and he said, here I am still struggling. So I realized that this is a person who's actually very advanced in Krishna consciousness. This is a person who did not fall down, you see. He remained solid in sannyasa and brahmachari life, completely solid. He never got deviated by this Gaudiya sannyasi or anything like that. He was never deviated in any way. He was a great Krishna conscious sadhu. But he said, here I am still struggling. He said, somehow or other I never got married, I always remained brahmachari, but here I am still struggling. So Krishna consciousness doesn't mean no struggle. It means you embrace the struggle. This is like somebody who's a champion chess player, you see. It is a struggle for him to win that chess match. Yes, it's a great struggle for him. He sweats. It's a very intense struggle to win that chess match. So it's not that struggling is means you're doing something wrong. No, if you're not struggling, you're doing something wrong. Does a country have to struggle to win a war against an enemy that's attacking it? No, there must be a struggle. And if there's no struggle, there's no victory. So right now there's a war going on. We're trying to be Krishna conscious and the material nature is trying to defeat us. So if you're not struggling, that means Maya has captured you. Say, okay Maya, I give up. I'm not going to struggle anymore to be Krishna conscious. So, you just have to embrace the struggle like that champion chess player, that's all. Relish the struggle. Is the sweetest nectar. Because there's nothing that pleases the spiritual master more to see his disciples struggling to conquer their senses and struggling to push forward this movement. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Mm-hmm.
казаха, че че по-лесно човек да бъде изкрен на време, отколкото нечист. Станах с това впечатление, че това е просто на миг. Но не е така, че това е процес, който на постепенно освобождаване от превързаности, материалните превързаности и постепенно развиване на вкус към пишно съзнание. Ако изведнъж това стане да е като сърдечна операция, тук е пациента умира.
You said you mentioned that it is easier to be a pure devotee than an impure devotee,
mm-hmm.
And he got the impression that this can happen in a moment. It's so easy, mm-hmm. but isn't it that Krishna consciousness is a gradual process of mm-hmm. getting rid of all our attachments? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
if it was so momentary, then it will be like a surgery when the patient may die. You know, if it's so abrupt.
It's like a band-aid. You know, band-aid. They call a band-aid.
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways to pull off a band-aid. One hair at a time. Or often we have to admit it, we pull it off one hair at a time because the whole thought of pulling it off all at once just seems like it would be a horrible pain. But actually, if we use our intelligence for realize, if I go shh, it doesn't even hurt, and it's finished. It's just the idea of all those hairs being strongly yanked at once. It's just like overwhelms, it becomes overwhelming. You think, I couldn't do that. So I'm not saying that, I mean, even though the easiest thing is to be a pure devotee, it's very rare that someone will actually do it. Because our mind puts up all these obstacles. That's the reality. Manushanam sahasrishu kashchit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchit mangviti tatvataha. So many obstacles are put forward. I think I couldn't do that because this and this and this and this and this and this and this. But these are just mental concoctions. So we struggle. But that struggle is glorious. So gradually we will come to pure bhakti. But actually, we could just say, all right, I may finish the struggle now and just become a pure devotee, but we had too many mental conceptions in the way, that's the problem. We think, well, Krishna is God, maybe. What if this whole thing was just Prabhupada, something that Prabhupada, some scheme that Prabhupada cooked up? I mean, one could have so many doubts in the mind that make you hesitate to fully surrender. So one has to understand Krishna consciousness of one's intelligence, not blindly. That will destroy the demon of doubt. Just like I was speaking with a nice young man this morning in Romania. And he admitted he still had his doubts about, you know, Krishna being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's been chanting 16 rounds for years, following the principle. But those doubts are still going around, and it makes it hard for him to surrender.
И тези съмнения, които той все още има, правят трудно неговото отдаване.
So I explained to him in a purely logical way how to understand that Krishna is the supreme, scientific way.
И аз му обясних научно, използвайки чиста логика, че Кришна е върховният.
So I don't know if I have time to get into those that now because there's other questions, but I've explained it in other lectures here. But we have to understand, philosophically understand, the highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. And the more we become philosophically convinced, philosophically strong, it's easier to do it. Because the doubts go away.
Колкото повече философски се убеждаваме за това, толкова по-лесно става да се убедим, защото съмненията се разпръскват.
That's why it's recommended to attend, you know, every day, Nityam Bhagavata Sevya. Study Bhagavatam every day, either together with the devotees, or if you can't come, you study at home, you know, Bhagavatam. Because this Bhagavad philosophy is the most high level scientific knowledge available anywhere in the history of the universe.
Защото философията на Бхагаватам е най-висшето философско и научно знание, което го има изобщо във Вселената.
So if we keep that enthusiasm that I want to fully surrender to Krishna now and keep trying our best, then we will make very good progress.
Ако ние поддържаме ентусиазма и правим най-доброто да се убедим на Кришна сега, ние ще осъществим много добър напредък.
It's a gradual process, yes. Generally, yes. It doesn't have to be generally. Prabhupada gives the example of Katvanga Maharaj. Then one second he became a pure devotee. So there's no reason to prolong it. Well, it's a gradual process, Prabhu, you know.
Няма нужда да го удължаваме и да отлагаме, като си мислим, това е постепенен процес.
That's what we call, back in the 60s, we call that a cop-out. A cheating. It's copying out. It's like a lame excuse. It's a gradual process, Prabhu. Don't expect me to, you know, do this because it's a gradual process. Don't make that a crutch. It's a gradual process, Prabhu. Because the more you advance, the more you become ecstatic. So why suffer unnecessarily? One should always try to advance as much as possible, every day.
What does gradual process mean? Is it that we go gradually in the process or that we get the result gradually?
Какво означава постепенен процес? Дали, че ние се движим постепенно в процеса или просто резултатите от процеса?
It means there are steps.
Това означава, че има стъпки.
Садусанга.
Садусанга.
Ашрадха, садусанга, баджанакрия.
Има различни стъпки.
And you need to translate these anartanaviti. You know. And then nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, and prem. There are steps you have to go through.
Има стъпки, през които трябва да се издигне човек.
Yeah, but they are the higher steps. Anyway, like after sadhusanga and bhajana kriya.
After bhajana kriya, then you go to anartanaviti. Yeah. And then to nishta.
Yeah, but those aren't those just the gradual. Gradually we come to that result, and gradual process is something different that you go like the one round a day, and two rounds a day.
Okay. Yeah, that's something different. Yeah, somebody wanted to chant 16 rounds. In fact, they were so enthusiastic to become Krishna conscious, they were chanting 16 rounds. And someone said, Bhakta Joe, you can't do that. You haven't been authorized. You're at this level. You can only do 4 rounds a day.
Ако приема някой иска да толкова ентусиазиран, че още като начинаеш иска да почне да натрува 16 кръга, но някой му казва...
That's ridiculous.
Някой му казва, не, ти не си на това.
Whoever was advising him was totally caught up in so-called rules and regulations, but understanding the essence.
То този, който го е посъветвал, всъщност не е разбирал същността на процеса. Само правила и предписания са в тези.
That little girl had a question back there.
Това момичето, малкото има въпрос. Малкото момиченце има въпрос.
Don't laugh, please. Don't laugh when these children ask questions. It makes it seem like it's a joke. Don't laugh when they ask questions. Okay, go ahead. What's the question?
Does Krishna walk with the cowherd boys?
Krishna, yes, Krishna does walk with the cowherd boys. He also runs with the cowherd boys. He also wrestles with the cowherd boys. Just like children play, Krishna does all those kinds of things with his cowherd boyfriend. So I think you had a question, yeah.
Както примерно това място, което бъде вече група на тази да се грижа за него, дали може да ходим на такива ресторанти с пресана?
Тук.
Като това място.
You said that we should not go to the Karmi restaurants to eat their food, but can we go to the restaurants where devotees are cooking food, like this place? It's maintained by devotees.
Any yes, devotee restaurants are a very nice place to go.
Ресторантите, които са поддържани преди години, са много хубави места да се ходи. Защото се сервира прасана.
I was just recently in London and we took prasadam at the restaurant at Soho Street. It was very nice.
Наскоро бях в Лондон и се хранихме в ресторанта на Soho Street. Беше много хубаво.
Yeah. So yes, the body going to Krishna conscious restaurant taking prasadam is very nice.
А правилно да и в ресторанта, който се предлага Кришна прасадам е много хубаво нещо.
Any other questions?
Моите правилно дани могат да направят спокойно, без да се притесняваме от визуалните критерии, изисквания, инструкции и настоящите правилно дани, които всъщност да помагат им да напреднат, но в един момент заради нелищностното съобщуване, всъщност им пречат. Някога да я общуват нормално и да се развиват нормално.
Sometimes the older devotees, they have very high requirements, and the younger devotees, the junior devotees, they cannot handle this very high standards, and they feel they cannot advance nicely because of this not very personal attitude from the senior devotees. So what to do in this case?
Well, if somebody's attitude is not very personal, that means they're not really a senior devotee.
Ако нечие отношение не е много личностно, това означава, че такъв преподаван не е много старши.
The true senior devotee is a very, very, he's very compassionate personal attitude. That's the true senior devotee. True senior devotee is an ocean of mercy. He showers the neophyte with so much kindness. Even the neophyte is offensive towards him, he showers that he repays that offensiveness with love.
И този начинаещия се отнася към него оскърбително, старше преподаван го
So somebody is being offensive to you, it means they're not a senior devotee.
Така че ако някой се отнася оскърбително към теб, това означава, че той не е старше.
They're being impersonal, you know, they're not senior.
Или се отнася имперсонално, това не е
Not really senior.
Това не е наистина старше преподаван.
All right. Yes, Maharaji here.
She has a friend who is 5.5 years old.
And 5.5.
Yes, and when he comes to the temple, he does not pay obeisances because he thinks that Krishna and Balaram are his friends. So what what to do with this person?
Actually, the young child, the young children should be trained as brahmachari. If they think I do not bow down to Krishna, is not very good training. The young brahmachari, he's taught from the age of 5, he's taught to be very strict servant of the spiritual master. The spiritual master enters the room, he bows down. When the deity curtain opens, he bows down. If the child thinks, oh, I'm not going to bow down, these are my friends up there, he'll never make any advancement. The parents need to train him, or someone needs to train him. It has to be the parents, they're responsible. You never become qualified to become Krishna's playmate if he can't offer his obeisances. Of course, then how you present it to him, it should be done very nicely and very tactfully, not rudely. You'd say, yes, these are your best friends. Yes, they are your best friends. You want to please your friends, don't you? You want to make your friends happy, don't you? They want you to bow down. And if you do, they'll give you special mercy. They will shower their mercy on you. And you'll be the happiest little boy in the whole world. So in this way, you take his... You understand what you need to do, but then do it in a very nice way that it connects with his present state of mentality, you see. But at a young age, they will, especially the parents, can teach them to do what they are told. The idea let the child do whatever he wants is a demoniac philosophy. The parents should train the child how to bow down to the deity, bow down to guru, bow down to Vaishnava. How to sit nicely and hear Bhagavad Gita lectures, Bhagavatam lectures in this way. And this way the child will get more pleasure out of hearing Bhagavatam than he would by watching a stupid cartoon on the television. We've seen this. Parikshit Maharaj is a young boy. He couldn't care anything about sports. He cared nothing about sports. He was interested in Krishna consciousness only. So we can train them how to sit in here nicely. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they will learn how to relish the sweetest pleasure by hearing and discussing these topics. Okay. Even at the age of 5, they can learn this. And they'll become powerful transcendentalists. Because once you get that taste, you see, you won't go back to the lower two. So that the children should not be neglected. Those who bring them into the world, they have to give them their full attention practically 24 hours a day. Not in a harsh or rude way, but in a very loving way. But they may sometimes have to act in a harsh way as out of necessity. But always based on loving mood. It's like in discipline. You can't always flatter. You have to sometimes say, you have to sometimes show anger. In disciplining someone, you have to sometimes show anger. How many times Prabhupada showed anger to us? Sometimes his anger was, devotees completely overwhelmed, but his anger was so heavy that he was just completely devastated by Prabhupada's anger. That means Prabhupada was overwhelmed by Krodha Vegam. No. He was using it as a teaching method. That time in Mexico City, they were out preaching and no one got up for Mangal Arati. In that Bhagavatam class, they got chastised up one side and down the other again and again and again, and they were shaking. It was so heavy, Prabhupada's anger. When Prabhupada got angry, he would even show bodily symptoms like a quivering of his lip in anger. I mean, he really became very intense in anger. And then the temple president, Chetsu Sukananda, he followed Prabhupada out of the temple room after the lecture. He always did that. That was his habit. He always felt like he was Prabhupada's little puppy dog. He'd always follow Prabhupada around wherever he went. And as the temple president, he had some privilege, see, to do that, you see. So they walked out of the temple room, and there was some nice flowers growing, beautiful aromatic flowers growing above the door. So he picked one and offered to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was like Nisringadev. Okay. And he offered him that flower, became like a completely a different person, just like the most calm, mellow person. Just like in one minute he was in a Sringadev, and the other he was just like the Paramahamsa, relishing this wonderful aroma of the flower. And Sitsukananda said, Prabhupada, how is it you were so angry, but now you're so peaceful? How is it,
Prabhupada?
Said, actually, I'm never angry with you, my disciple. But sometimes I must show anger to train you. So the parents, they should never become overwhelmed by anger when they're raising their children. Never overwhelmed by anger. Never, ever, ever overwhelmed by anger. Not even once. But they can sometimes act as if they are very angry to bring their kids to their senses, you see. So anything else? I guess we're a little running out of time now. It's getting a late start. Alright, one of the children has a question. Alright. Remember, don't laugh. Don't laugh when these children ask questions. I'm training you all. Don't laugh when they ask questions. Go ahead.
Her question is, why Krishna went to the demoness Putana to suck her breast milk when he was knowing that she was poisoned?
Krishna did not go to her. She came to him. He was laying there and she came into his house posing herself as a nurse, which means nurse means one who gives the breast milk to the baby. So she came in disguising herself as a beautiful demigoddess who wanted to nurse the little baby, and they said, all right. So Krishna knew it was actually a demon. So why did he agree to suck it, her breath? He wanted to kill her? To get even with her for trying to poison him? Not really. Krishna is not... He's not a vengeful lord.
No, Krishna is not a vengeful lord.
He wanted to deliver her. Because anyone who is directly killed by God, they get liberation. Usually impersonal Brahmanva liberation. But because she approached him as mother, and there is no one more dear than mother, you see. Because she approached him as mother, then he said, all right, you can be my mother, you can be in that mood of my mother in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. He liberated her, Goloka Vrindavan.
Понеже тя се обърнала към него като майка, той приел това и настроение и освободил и тя станала негова майка.
She became in the parental rasa, which is a very high rasa, almost the highest rasa, just one step away from being a gopi. In the parental rasa, in Goloka Vrindavan.
Тя се вдигнала до положението на родителска раса, която е много висша на една.
So Krishna agreed to suck that poison so he could suck the life out of her and suck all of the material consciousness out of her and deliver her back to home, back to God. And that's why he agreed to suck her breath.
Krishna се съгласил да случи от нея, да изпие млякото и живота и цялото материално съзнание и да освободи.
So now we will continue tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.
Така сега ще продължим утре сутринта в 7
часа. And I've been asked to do one song.
Yes.
Yes. Помолихме да изфири една песен.
So I will go ahead and do one song.
Така че ще изпеем една песен.
I need a microphone. We used to have I used to produce a TV show in the U.S. called Turn On Your Soul. TurnOnYourSoul.com. So I'll give you the lyrics ahead of time, the translation, so you know what I'm singing. Those of you who can't figure out English songs as they're being sung. Yeah, this was the theme song for our show. Do you know who you really are? Do you know where you're coming from? Do you know where it is that you're going? Or what you will become? You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. So you better tune in and turn on your soul. Do you know what happens when you die? What is your message for him? Do you know what's beyond the sky? So the next verse is, let's see. See, now I forgot it. Do you think that body is you? Do you think that body is you? It's just something that you're passing through. Do you know what's beyond the sky? Do you know what happens when you die? Do you know what's beyond the sky? Do you think that body is you? Something you're passing through. You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. So better tune in and turn on your soul. We're told that everything happens by chance. That the universe has no person in control. But I see that every machine has an operator. So the universe also has one. This I know. Then I repeat the first verse again. So now we'll do it. Don't start clapping. If you clap, then listen, follow my rhythm. If you clap your own rhythm, it'll spoil everything. So be, follow the rhythm that I'm doing, then it's okay. But clap not too loud. But do you know who you really are? Do you know where you're coming from? Do you know where it is that you're going? Or what you will become? You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. Better tune in and turn on your soul. Do you know what happens when you die? Do you know what's beyond the sky? Do you think that body is you? It's just something that you're passing through. You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. Better tune in and turn on your soul. We're told that everything happens by chance. That the universe has no person in control. But I see that every machine has got an operator. So the universe also has one, this I know. You better believe it. Do you know who you really are? Do you know where you're coming from? Do you know for sure where you're going? Or what you will become? You're eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So remember and celebrate this. You're not of this world, dear friend. Better tune in and turn on your soul. Yeah, you're not of this world, dear friend. Better tune in and turn on your soul. Thank you very much. So I don't know. You probably wanted another song, but I don't. I left my song sheet in the. It's packed in my luggage in the car right now, and it's locked up. It's kind of a trouble to get through. So, you know, it's running late, and I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've been very sick. So, maybe I'll just do one song tonight. Can I see you tomorrow? I have a bad cough, very bad cough. You have time to see me, doctor?
He has come to see you tonight.
Tonight? Oh, very good. Tonight, that's even better. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just hacking cough all night. You know, very bad.
You can do the part of the blues.
Huh?
Part of the blues.
All right, I'll do a little part of this song. This is a song that's being worked on right now. It's not completed yet. Have any finger picks? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all right. So anyway, this song is about material life. You see, we got, all of us have a bad case of what's known as the existential blues. The whole world is suffering from the existential blues. Ever since I can remember, this car's getting in the way, but I'll try my best. Ever since I can remember, I've always had the blues. Translated. And so to have them today, translated. And so to have them today is no spectacular news. Looks like I'm always gonna have them, even though, Lord, I can't stand them. Yes, it got me a bad case. Oh, it's horrible. Of those existential blues. I mean, it's pretty horrible. Oh, God. Now, this next verse is a true story. So I went to my daddy to tell him I was blue. He said, don't worry about it, son. It's just a phase you're going through. So tried to put my blues behind me, but they just kept on tagging along behind me. Yes, it looks like I got me an incurable case. Oh. Of those existential blues. Now here comes the chorus. Yeah, the blues has got me. That's a special kind of English spoken by the black people, okay? Yeah, the blues has got me. Those existential blues has got me. Yeah, the blues has got me. Those existential blues has got me. Yes. Do you have a zoo here in Sofia? You do? Okay. Yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Feel like I should be living in the Sofia Zoo. 'Cause it got me a strung out, wrung out, hung out case of those existential blues. So anyway, that's, I haven't finished the song yet, but that's how it starts. And then I'm going to put it on the top 40. That's my goal. Because I've seen this song, the Karmis like this song. I've seen it. They eat it up. They go, wow, that's really cool. You know. So I think it's a way to get. Oh yeah, here's one more verse. I got out of bed, I was walking around. Up and down this old bewildered town. Just looking for somebody that didn't have the blues. Everybody thought I was crazy, but you know, I didn't let that faze me. But I could not find a single soul that didn't have the blues. It's pretty heavy, let me tell you. This is what I was like before I became a devotee, actually. It's true. I mean, I was looking for somebody that wasn't bewildered, and I couldn't find anybody that wasn't bewildered. Until I came in contact with Prabhupada and his followers, everybody is bewildered. With that incurable disease known as, you guessed it, the existential blues. So anyway, yeah, my desire is to get that on the top 40 somehow. You make Krishna consciousness cool in the pop culture, you know. That's my desire. So we'll see what Krishna has in mind, you know. Jai, Hare Krishna.